All righty. Well, those of you who are here today obviously remembered the time change last night. And boy, does it messes up some people that time. It takes me a couple days to get used to. I know if you have children, it really takes children a little while to get used to that time change. I have heard that Ohio is talking about legislating differently on that, where they're thinking about changing that to where we don't change our clocks all year long. I'm in favor of that. I know other Midwest states are going to do the same. Illinois is trying to pass that as well. But I was thinking about time last week. I was thinking about the time change and stuff like that. And I thought, well, you know what? Let's preach about time. Let's talk about time this week. It's something that Jesus talked about. It's something that the Old Testament prophets talked about. So this morning, I want to turn our attention to Psalms chapter 90. If you have your Bibles. Psalms chapter 90, this was a prayer that was actually prayed by Moses, and it was put into this collection of songs in Psalms. But Psalms chapter 90, I just want to read verses 10 and verse 12, and then talk a little bit about time. Verse 10 says, "For the length of our days is 70 years, or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away." Verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." If you're following along in your bulletins and your outline, number one is simply, each person has a set amount of time in this life. In the prayer, he starts out verse 10, "The length of our days." Seems like the older we get, the more we ponder on that phrase a little bit. I can admit when I was in my teenage years, my 20s, maybe even my 30s, I didn't think a whole lot about the length of my days. Now that I'm in my upper 40s and moving onward, you start to think about that a little bit. You take a little look at where you've been in the past, where you're going in the future, and really, truly, how long you have. We've experienced tremendous loss to death in the church in the last 3 to 5 years, especially. And you just don't know how long God has planned for you here on planet Earth. And we need to remember, as Christ followers, as God believers, that we have a set amount of time in this life, and we need to pay attention to what it is we are doing with our time. Even with the gift of modern medicine, we haven't been able to extend the average lifespan beyond that which God talks about. He says, the length of our days is 70 years or 80. And I understand we have a few people that actually make it to 90 and 100, but that's rare, and those are very precious gems in the church. Excuse me. Still today, the average American life expectancy is still around 78 years old. Worldwide life expectancy is about 63 years old. And that time has a way of slipping by very, very fast. When you think about it, if we're fortunate enough to make it to 78, 80 years old, that's a good life. But boy, does it slip away fast. Verses 5 and 6 in this same psalm, in Psalm 90. If you look at verses 5 and 6, it says, "You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it's dry and withered." In other words, things that happened in the past seem like yesterday, and things we've been meaning to do for so long really go undone a lot of times, because we think, well, I got time to do that. I never got a grasp on that until I started raising children and really started getting into ministry. We were talking about things, getting a grasp on how fast time goes. We were talking in our Sunday school class this morning. Just the last 10 years. If you look at just the last 10 years, how fast did that go? In the last 10 to 11 years, if you realize, and I'm just looking at my own kids, I look at other kids. In the last 10 years, some of our kids in our church didn't even exist. You know, when the Cassettos moved to Waterford, Joel was in fifth grade and Reese was in first grade. Today, they're both juniors in high school and college. Jaden was not even, well, he wasn't even a thought when he was conceived either. But Jaden, we thought we were done with kids at that point. Jaden wasn't even, Jaden didn't even exist. Jeremiah didn't exist. How many of your kids were just, Harlow and Reagan didn't even exist 10 years ago. And how fast does time go by? You know, the Maddox boys, they were both shorter than I am. Not so much anymore. Gavin's a senior in high school already. Incredible. Time goes fast. And I'm learning the older you get, the more that seems. Just the last year flies. It seems like we were just having Christmas Eve service. And we're talking about Easter stuff already in the next few weeks. But as time goes fast, it's not only things that happened yesterday, things we've been meaning to do. How many times have you meant to do something and you thought, well, I got time to do that? Or you meant to do things with a relative, mom, dad, whoever, grandma and grandpa. You know, we got time to do that. And time just goes by fast. And you never did what you intended on doing. And you look back and say, wow, I thought I would have more time. Or I never thought so-and-so would be gone. And we don't know. And not only is our days numbered, we got to remember everybody around us days numbered. Now, this isn't a doom and gloom sermon. We're not talking about death today. But to pay attention to what we are doing with our time and how we're being good stewards of our time. The cartoon character Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes once said, God put me on this earth to accomplish a certain number of things. Right now I'm so far behind I'll never die. You ever felt like that before? Your to-do list. We always tease about our to-do lists a lot of times, and that's truly the case. If we really do tend to accomplish everything that we want to accomplish, we would never die. And you will run out of time. You will not accomplish every single thing you want to accomplish here on planet Earth. But boy, what are you doing with the days God's given you today? What are you going to do with today? You woke up this morning and you planned on going to the house of God to worship, to be with fellow believers, to get into His Word, to get a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of understanding. Some of you have plans for lunch this afternoon. Some of you are going out to eat with friends. Some of you are going to grandma's house for lunch. Whatever the case may be. And then what are you going to do with the rest of the day? What's your plans for the rest of the day? How are you going to love people? How are you going to glorify God today? Now, I know you got plans for the rest of the week. Some of you got plans to go to work the rest of the week. Some of you got plans. Mary and I have an athletic boosters meeting on Monday night we plan on going to. We got other meetings throughout the week. But today, because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What are we going to do with today? Each person has a set amount of time in this life, and the length of our days are numbered. We just need to be reminded of that sometimes when it comes to serving God. Number two, each person is accountable to God for what is done in the time of life. We forget that sometimes. And it's very easy to just be on our agenda, doing what I want to do, serving when I want to serve, serving who I want to serve. Like I said, putting things off. Human beings are great. And certain personalities are even better than that at others. My daughter Joelle is a self-proclaimed procrastinator. She just procrastinates as long as she possibly can. She thrives. She does well. She's a straight-A student. She accomplishes things that I never accomplished at her age. But she is a procrastinator. And sometimes being a procrastinator can get us in big trouble. And God has not called us to be a procrastinator. God calls us to be accountable to Him. What are you doing with your time? And is it holy and pleasing to God? Jesus told the story of the talents. I'm not going to read the whole story again, but you remember the story I'm talking about where the master gave different amounts of talents to his servants. Some servants used those talents, another servant put it away, didn't grow it, didn't do anything with it. He gave us that parable to explain God's expectations of us. God gives you good gifts, and one of the gifts he gives you is time. And God expects, he has expectations with that time. Don't forget, we serve a God that doesn't live in time. He is not bound by time. He has no beginning. He has no end. That was created here on earth when God created the gift of time here on earth. When you go into your life eternal with God, there is no time anymore. That's hard to wrap your mind around. I know. I don't have a full grasp of that either. But the precious gift of time we have here on earth, God has expectations of what we do with that time. And if you really pay attention to what you do day by day, how much of it truly is used for the glory and honor of God? God's expectation of us is to extend our time, because time is really just a way of breaking down our life into increments. When I mean extend our time, I mean offer it to others. Obviously, there's nothing you and I can do to extend our time here on earth other than trying to be healthy, doing what the doctors tell us to do. But God knows how many days we have here on planet Earth. Some of us will have 50 years. Some of us will have 100 years. Some of us will have 20 years. We don't know what the case is for everybody. But 2 Thessalonians 3:6 says, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us." We have been called to holy living. And we've preached on that. You've had Sunday school lessons on that. We've had sermon series on holy living. What are you called to do with your time? Live a life that's holy and pleasing to God. That doesn't mean you can't have fun. That doesn't mean you can't have times of relaxation. God did all that. He encourages all that. What he doesn't want you to do is idly watch your time just go by. You know, young people do this a lot, and I was guilty of it when I was young. We like to wish away time a lot of times. I remember as a young person, I was like, I can't wait till I'm 16 and I can drive a car. And I wished away 13, 14, 15, couldn't wait to get to be 16. And then when I was 16, I wished away 17 because I couldn't wait to be 18. What can you do when you're 18 other than vote and get drafted by the Army? I guess you can smoke cigarettes if you want to when you're 18. I don't know. You can move out of mom and dad's house. I wanted to be 18 because in my eyes, I was going to be an adult. And then when I was 18, I wished away a couple of years because I couldn't wait to be 21. Why? I don't drink. I don't know what else you can do at 20. Well, I guess you think you're more respected. I have no idea. But when I was 20, I remember I can't wait when I'm 21, because when I was 20, I was engaged to Mary. And I wished away a whole year because I couldn't wait to marry Mary, because I knew that was going to happen in May after I turned 21. And then when I married Mary, I wished away some years because I couldn't wait for kids to come. Then my first two kids came, and then I remember in my guilt, and I'm not happy about this, in my frustration as a parent, when is this going to be over and we're going to be empty nesters? And then God, in his great humor, sent Jaden, started the clock all over again. That finally woke me up. And I know that took me a while. Some people attack. God's patient with me. We are not called to wish away any years of our life. Your teenage years are precious to God. Your years in your 20s and 30s are precious to God. You can do things when you're in your 20s you will never be able to do when you're in your 50s. And you will be able to do things in your 50s that you never had the wisdom and understanding to do in your 20s. These are different increments in your life that God gives you different opportunities and different ways to serve him and to love people. You have access to a whole different group of people today than you did 20 years ago, or for some of you 10 years ago. We are absolutely accountable for every single day, every single week, and every single year with what we do with God. And the number one thing we better be doing is we better be transitioning more and more each year into the likeness of Jesus. At the end of every year, can we look back and say, you know, I'm a different person than I was a year ago. I love differently. I serve differently. I've grown more into the likeness of my Jesus. My heart is being molded and shaped more into the likeness of Christ's heart. And you will be accountable to that. God will look at you. There will be a judgment day someday. And God will look you in the eyes and he will ask you what you did with your time here on earth that he blessed you with. Who did you love in the days that he blessed you with? Who did you serve in the days that he blessed you with? Who did you offer compassion to? Who did you stick up for in the days that he blessed you with? Don't ever, ever make the mistake of wishing away a week or wishing away a month. I wish this month would go away so I could just get to vacation next month. That's easy to think too sometimes. Or when we were a little kid, between Thanksgiving, I wish these few weeks would go fast so we could get to Christmas. Don't ever, ever wish away a day, because you will be accountable for those days that you wish away. Peter says we will be held accountable for the types of things we do with our time. In 1 Peter 4, verses 3 and 5, he says, "For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead." It's very easy to look at those verses and say, well, I'm not like a pagan. I don't live in drunkenness. I don't live in orgies. I don't live in carousing. And then he throws in there detestable idolatry. And it's easy to look and say, well, I don't bow down to any other god. How many bow down to the calendar God? Your calendar God. We've all been guilty of that. Doing what we choose to do and what we put on our calendar. Some of us learn this lesson when we're early. Some of us learn it later on in life. Every day is not going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. If you are involved in people's lives and you are involved in ministry, your day is going to get messed up. You're going to get a call and say, hey, Greg, I need help. Will you come to? And you're going to have to drop everything you're doing and go help. There's going to be a day where you're going to get a call. Reese, I need your young legs. I need your young arms. I need you to help. And you're going to have to miss a practice, a something to serve God. My kids have learned this at a young age. Joelle and Reese and now Jaden have had the fortune or misfortune of being raised in a preacher's home. They've missed birthday parties. They've missed a lot of different things for the sake of doing ministry. I don't know how many times we've had to celebrate their birthday on a different day because dad or mom was doing something at church on their birthday or on a different holiday or something like that. Days don't always go the way we think they're going to go. And that's not sad. That just means God trusts you enough to use you. God watches you and says, he or she is responsible with the day that I've given. Remember the wise saying, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what happens, no matter what we've been called away from, It's a day worth rejoicing because we have an opportunity to share Jesus with somebody. Holidays will get disrupted. I don't know how many Memorial, it seems like on Memorial Day. Now you guys all have a license to call me on Memorial Day. Seems like always on Memorial Day, my family tries to go camping or something on Memorial Day weekend. And without doubt, somebody goes to the hospital or somebody dies on Memorial Day. And I think it was 2 years ago, I asked Mary, I said, I got frustrated, I said, can't anybody just die when it's convenient for me? That sounds funny, but we think that sometimes. Why do we got to drop everything and just go do it? You know, why can't we enjoy our time? You know, it's that detestable idolatry. We may not bow down to an actual statue or an actual God, but sometimes we bow down to ourselves, and we want what self wants. I love this quote from Elizabeth Dole. Some of you remember Elizabeth Dole. She was the former Secretary of Transportation. Quite a while ago, she was a presidential candidate. But I love this quote from Elizabeth Dole. She says, life is not just a few years to spend on self-indulgence and career advancement. It is a privilege, a responsibility, and a stewardship to be lived according to a much higher calling. How true is that? How biblical is that? Here you got a lady that knows her Bible. Life is a privilege, a responsibility, and a stewardship to be lived according to a much higher calling. No matter what your plans are today, God may call you to do something greater. We like to limit ourselves sometimes, or we even like to put God into a little box and try to control him and what we're going to do with him and for him. But God says, no, I got something greater for you. I got something different for you today. So God has called each person to be accountable to him for what we do with our time. Number three, depending on how it is spent, life can be either trouble and sorrow, or it can be redeemable or redeemed, depending on how we spend our life. We can determine how our lives turn out. In this psalm, it speaks of life being trouble and sorrow. But that is actually the result of God's judgment. When he's talking about, oh, you know, your life could be trouble or something, that's not just talking about, oh, you could be put in prison and be troubleful. No. Your life can be spent however many years it gives, and at the end, it can be full of trouble and sorrow, depending on God's judgment. God makes it very clear, if we live according to our own pleasures, then no matter what we think we've accomplished, and it's very easy to think that. Look at everything that I've done. Surely God's going to look at everything I've done, and he's going to be pleased with it. Don't get so full of ourselves. Because no matter what we think we've accomplished, it will all be a waste if we are living according to our own pleasures. It's not enough just to plan and use our time in a well-thought-out way, but we must use that plan to live right, to live a life holy, set apart by God. Don't forget, we've said it many, many times in this church. I've heard it taught, I've heard it preached many times in this church. Do everything you're doing as if you're doing it for God himself. Everything. In your time of working things out or doing things, is it for your own pleasure? Now, a lot of times you get to do things for God, and it's fun. Ministry can be very fun at times. It's not fun 100% of the time, but it can be very fun when you do things alongside other fellow believers. There's times in ministry where it's not so fun, where you're dealing with hurt, you're dealing with loss, you're taking on somebody else's burden, whatever the case may be. But God promises us if we plan our lives according to his will and we live a life that's righteous in him, then we are promised all the blessings of heaven. But to sit back and say, look what I've done. You know as well as I do, your salvation has nothing to do with how good you are. It has nothing to do with all the things you've done. It's what Christ has done with you in you and for you? Have you allowed Christ to work through you? That's something to think about. In Psalms 49, verse 12 through 14, he says, "But man, despite his riches, does not endure. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their sayings. Like sheep, they are destined for the grave, and death will feed on them. The upright, though, will rule over them in the morning. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions." In other words, sin has a pleasure, but it's only for a short time. You think about that. Any sin that brings any kind of pleasure is only for a very short time. But long-term sin, and you guys know what I mean with long-term sin. We like to call those bad habits or addictions or whatever the case, sin that keeps evolving in your life over and over and over again. That's not even short-term pleasure. That turns into suffering. Long-term sin is suffering. Long-term living out life the way you want to live always, always ends up in suffering. When you live side by side with whoever it is you love, be it a parent, grandparent, spouse, child, friend, whoever it is that you will lose someday, or they will lose you someday. If you've spent a lifetime with that person or with those people without the understanding that you are serving God and worshiping God alongside of them, when that person's gone, there will be great suffering. A suffering that's very, very hard to recover from. But when you spend your days serving them, serving with them, loving them, loving with them, I'm not telling you there's no hurt. But the suffering only lasts for a little bit. That's a promise from God. Joy and peace, God says, comes in the morning. Because you know full well who it is you're serving and who it is you're in charge of. So depending on how your life is spent or your time is spent, life can very well easily, can either fall under trouble and sorrow, or it can be redeemed in the name of Jesus. Hebrews 11:25 says, "He chose to be mistreated along with the people," talking about Jesus. "He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time." Jesus saw the big picture. He knows and he saw what was waiting for him in paradise. He's seen and been to heaven. That's where he reigns. That's where he lives. That's where he's from. And yet he chose not to the sin for a short period of time for a little bit of pleasure. It wasn't worth it to him. We've been given a very little glimpse of heaven. You ever read the book of Revelation? John was given a beautiful gift of to see what heaven was going to look like. And he tried his hardest to put that into human understanding in human terms, a spiritual realm. What a beautiful place. A place of peace, a place of worship, a place of adoration for God. If that's on the forefront of our mind, how can we even think for a second, "I'm going to please myself for just an hour and risk losing that for eternity"? It just ain't worth it. But if we live according to God's principles, then our lives won't be wasted. This is why learning to number the days, where he talks about numbering the days, is considered to be gaining wisdom. When he talks about gaining wisdom there, for those who understand numbering your days, there's wisdom there. You're going to hear me say that over and over again this morning. How did I spend my days today? How did I spend my time? And what is God going to think about my choices? Psalm 49:15 says, "But God will redeem my life from the grave. He will surely take me to himself." For those who choose to serve God, for those who turn their eyes on Jesus. He says, God will redeem my life. God will make all things new. God will make all things better. God will make all things great. For those who pay attention to what they do with their time, our perspective must be that this life is for laboring for God. Then whatever we do is not done in vain. How many of you have ever done something and just know that it was an absolute vain? Where you accomplished nothing? Like you worked hard all day long and it was all for nothing. You ever experienced that? It happens. Sometimes it happens intentionally. Sometimes it happens unintentionally. Or you can look back at a whole week and say, you know, that whole week was wasted. Sometimes it's just our perspective. Sometimes a week that makes seem in vain, if your heart was in the right place, it may not have been in vain. When you were doing whatever you were doing, when you were chopping wood, when you were cleaning toilets, when you were cleaning somebody up that couldn't clean themselves up, were you doing it for Jesus? When you visited somebody or clothed somebody or fed somebody, were you clothing Jesus? Were you feeding Jesus? Were you visiting Jesus? 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You want to be guaranteed that your labor is not in vain? Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. There's a huge word there, fully. Always give yourself fully. That means your time, your attention, your calendar, whatever it may be that God demands of you. Do you give it to him fully? This is the contrasting answer that God has against those who live wrong. Last, we must consciously and intentionally plan and live out the time that we have. It is not good enough to God that you just walk through life aimlessly. Whatever may be, may be. No. Consciously and intentionally plan and live out the time that you have here. Now, plans may change, but God encourages you to dream dreams, dream big, have goals, have plans on how you're going to serve him. You could have a whole plan this week of how you're going to serve. That plan may change tomorrow due to a life circumstance. But to sure know that no matter what, God, we're going to be serving you. We're going to be worshiping you. We're going to be loving in your name. We are accountable for the big picture. We must make the long-term commitment to live for Christ and to make every single moment count for him. When you're in the presence of non-believers, do you make every single moment that you're with them count for Jesus Christ? Are seeds constantly being planted? Are seeds constantly being watered by you? Have you ever had the opportunity to take advantage and to harvest a soul for Jesus Christ that somebody else planted or watered for you? Always take full advantage of every moment and make it count for Jesus. Whenever you're around people, love them in the name of Jesus. And I'm talking about even in your own home. Don't ever take for granted the people God put in your own home. They are to be loved and served like Jesus would love and serve them as well. And we are accountable for the small picture. But having made the determination, we must then make every moment count. And that's good old-fashioned discipline. Discipline, discipline, discipline. Jesus taught that to his disciples over and over and over again. Taking care of your time and being accountable with your time takes great discipline and allowing God to discipline you. When Paul says, I buffet my body, beat my body into submission, he's talking about I discipline myself to serve God, not serve myself. Paul recognized that this life we are called to live is based on a once-for-all mentality. But it is a daily thing. He understood that. This is a one-time deal. You've been given one life. There is no reincarnation. I'm sorry if you've read that philosophy and you bought into it. I'm guessing nobody here has, or you wouldn't be here. There is no reincarnation. You're not going to come back and enjoy a different life here on planet Earth or have a redo or a do-over. You've been given one life. But it is a daily thing. What are you doing with that life on a daily basis today? Are you just going to work for the next 30 years and wishing that away and hoping that you make it to retirement? And if you get to retirement, you're lucky and you hope that I get to enjoy retirement for 5 years. You know, lifespan, what did I say, is about 78 years in America. I'm going to have to work till I'm at least 70. Will I get at least 8 years to enjoy retirement? I don't know. That's not what I'm living for. That's what Paul's talking about. Live a good life. Live a fulfilled life in the name of Jesus. I want to finish this morning with 1 Corinthians 15:31. Paul says, I die every day. And then he puts in this line, I mean that, brothers. I die every day. I mean that, brothers. And he explains, we are called to be living sacrifices. We are called to be living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him. When you wake up every morning, do you make the decision, today's the day I'm going to live for him who died for me. Today's the day I'm going to lay down my life for somebody else, mainly Jesus. I'm going to lay aside my own plans. I'm going to lay aside my own desires to serve Jesus. And that's the invitation this morning. As we sing our invitation song, as you listen to the words, as you sing the words, take time to be holy, I believe is what we're singing. Take time to be holy. Do you know what that means? Take the time to be set apart and used by God daily. If you've never before, which I'm looking in the pews this morning, most of you have given your life to Jesus Christ. If you haven't, like always, we invite you to come forward, start your life anew with Jesus today. For the rest of us, and pray that prayer this morning. God, give me the power, give me the strength today to take time to be holy, set apart for you, and may I do everything to your glory and to your honor. Let's pray that this morning. Would you stand and let's mean the words we sing and take time to be holy.